The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Hi, and welcome to Directions On Point, an interactive and live program with a top newsmaker in location technology. I'm Joe Francica. I'm the editor-in-chief of Directions Media, and I'm joined by my executive editor, Adina Schitzberg, and we'll be your hosts for today's webcast featuring Marissa Mayer, the vice president of Google's local and location services. The whole point of today's broadcast is for you to be able to ask some questions. We'll be asking questions as well, and I just wanted to familiarize everyone with how we're going to do this. In your control panel, there is a section called Questions. You can click on the little plus sign if it isn't expanded already, and you may do this at any time during the webcast. When we are ready to take your questions from the audience, I will be choosing a select few from those that we receive, and when you hear your name, I'll take you off the mute button, so be prepared to state your question. I will say your name, and then you can ask questions directly of Marissa. And in the event that we lose cabin pressure here and there's other technical problems and we don't hear you, then I will field your questions and ask it directly. So, again, thanks for your participation. There will be a recording of today's webinar. We'll make that available afterwards. There will also be a brief survey, and we ask you to give us some feedback as well. Our next on point is with Jeff Jonas from IBM on February 1st, so I just want to remind you of that. We've got some limited time today, and we appreciate everyone being here. We've got a global audience of over 250 people joining us, and we're going to just get rolling with our questions. So again, you've heard from me. We've got everything set up to go about 30 past the hour, and so let's just get started. I introduced Marissa. This is her title. She was formerly the VP of Search and Search Products and User Experience with Google. She is now the VP of Location and Local Services. So again, Marissa, thanks very much for joining us. We appreciate your time today.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
That. So what we're going to do is we're going to start off with the question. Adina Schitzberg is our executive editor. And Adina, I'm going to turn everything over to you so you can launch into the first question.
Thanks. Marissa, you're probably very familiar, and probably our audience is too, of Forrester's report out last July that said about 4% of online U.S. adults had used LBS. And another statistic from that was some 85% of them didn't even know what location services were. So how are we going to get from those kind of numbers up to a wider usage of location-based services?
Well, I think it's actually already happened, and I just think that a lot of people aren't aware of it. So, for example, about 20% of the searches that are done on Google every day are done for local information. So people are already looking online for local information. There's already, you know, I think more than a billion people have looked at their homes on Google Maps or Google Earth using our satellite view over the 5 or 6 years we've now offered it. So a lot of people have used different location services, but they don't necessarily attribute it to that name. That said, I do think that there's even more that can happen, especially now with the rise of mobile phones in the area of location.
So how do we either measure that or make them understand that, in fact, what they are doing is already location-enabled and there's more to come and there's more benefits?
I think that a lot of this really has to do with just, you know, I mean, a lot of this will spread very virally. Someone says, oh, you know, have you seen your house on Google Maps or Google Earth? And that's how that spread. And I think that as people produce really compelling products and compelling experiences, this is something that will just happen naturally.
Thank you.
Marissa, let me ask you a quick question here about, you know, some of the opportunities that, you know, are coming about with Facebook Places, and there's Foursquare and Gowalla. We're kind of in our infancy of what we can be doing with linking check-ins with social media and retailing. Where do you think we're headed, and what do you think the catalyst might be to lead the way toward offering a service more palatable to users?
Well, I think that the game space for location is really interesting, and I like a lot of what Foursquare, Gowalla, and others have done there. I think that it helps people really think about the fact that their phone knows where they are. And if they are willing to participate in a game or reveal their location with their permission to a particular set of people or to a service, something that we can then take and do a lot with, be it showing someone an offer or a deal where they are, you know, buy, you know, a full price dinner, get a burrito free, that type of thing. I think there's a lot that we can do in terms of helping people find other places they might like. So when you look at things like Google Hotpot, on our Google Places applications, they have personalized recommendations. They can not only show you somewhere you might like, but somewhere near you that you would like. And so I think that there's a lot of interesting things that we'll see both in the short term and in the long term. In the longer term, I think we'll see things like us knowing that you're in the airport because you've given us permission to provide you information that's relevant to your location, and we'll give you an airport guide. Or knowing that you're in a restaurant and ultimately giving you a marked up social menu that shows you what the most popular dishes are, what dishes your friends tend to like. There's a lot of very powerful things that can happen, and they can happen more seamlessly when we understand location.
Okay, great, thanks. Adina, I'm going to turn this one over to you.
Right, and actually that's a nice transition, because a lot of what you described in that sort of game space is people sort of discreetly making information aware that you are at a particular location at a particular time. And what I'm interested in is, are we ready now to look beyond that point location? And if somebody is willing to share what I like to refer to as their orbit, that is sort of where they go regularly, is that going to open up this space in a new sort of way?
I think here the key is giving the user control. Because there are certainly some people where I would feel comfortable letting them know where I am all the time. And there are some people where I let them know my orbit, as you say. And there's some people where I might only want to reveal the places that I very explicitly reveal through check-ins. But I think that there it's important to have those layers and those elements of control for the user, because it is a very personal and private piece of information.
It is, and I think one of the interesting things about the orbit versus the location with a particular timestamp is that it's kind of a fuzzy thing. It could, in fact, be quite fuzzy. And that, it seems to me, is you're giving away less detailed information with that than you are with these sort of check-in kinds of things.
Potentially, but I guess I'm kind of doubtful, potentially, in how localized people's orbits are. I think that given just general mobility, travel in today's world, I think it's hard to say when is someone, you know, in their orbit and what is that orbit. But it might be something interesting to compute and see.
I think that would be a great research opportunity for Google.
Potentially.
Marissa, one of the things I wanted to get at was kind of some of the next things you see on the horizon for Google Maps and Google Earth, and will it become a more robust platform for, and you've probably heard the term, prosumer of geospatial information? You know, we're seeing products like Google Earth Engine and Google Earth Enterprise, and there's kind of this overlap with what we might call the professional GIS person versus what we can do today on Google Earth. So I wonder what you see in terms of making it a more robust platform.
Well, I think one of the things we're seeing is overall how powerful location and mapping really can be. And I think that, for example, our Google Maps for Mobile 5.0 really demonstrates that with the powerful vector experience, the speed, the ability to do three dimensions, the ability to have offline reliability where you actually have the maps for where you typically tend to be cached. And so I think that, you know, we're really starting to see how powerful this experience can be. That said, there are people who have a different set of needs around how they want to integrate the mapping into their experience or their overall volume. And for those people, we need to provide professional offerings around things like Google Enterprise or Earth Engine.
Yeah, and what we have, you know, tried to promote for many years is, how do we get this technology into the boardroom? How do we get the COO, the CEO really engaged with using and even managing their business from a location perspective? There are certainly some industries that are more likely to use location technology, you know, the people in real estate, versus somebody in retailing who may only use it for target marketing. So, but now they're familiar with Google Earth. They know what Maps can do. So, you know, anything that you can, you know, provide maybe in terms of where you think it's going to get to that level, or what you've been hearing from talking to other people.
I mean, I think it's hard to say. I guess, you know, it's in some ways at this point very abstract. So I guess I would need a more concrete. I feel like I don't have something concrete enough to answer there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me, Dean, do you have any other questions you'd like to follow up with?
I bet our audience has a whole bunch.
Yeah, I think our audience has really kind of gotten the, I've got a flood of questions here to ask you. So let me ask you one that's come in. Somebody has asked, what might you, I guess they were reading some of your profile, and they said, what do you do with your prescribed 20% of free time that you might devote to innovation? So somebody was curious about that.
You know, I mean, for me, it's really varied over time. Sometimes my 20% goes to my core project. Sometimes it doesn't. Right now, I'm really working very closely with our Maps team, with our local team, and a lot of my energy is going into that. Particularly into local monetization, and just really trying to understand all the possibilities that lie ahead of us, because it's just a really fast moving space. It's been very exciting and interesting so far, and that's absorbing the majority of my time.
Okay.
20% and otherwise.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm going to let Odie Menacher ask a question. Odie, I'm going to take you off of mute. Can you ask your question directly?
Yes, hi Marisa. What is Google's strategy in updating and checking accuracy of the vast, enormous quantity of geographical data that you present?
Our strategy is that we are, you know, our goal really is to try and be a mirror of the geographic world. And so we want to have the most accurate and up-to-date information available. Ideally, we'd like that to be real-time. That said, that's not really plausible given today's technologies. But that said, we do try and refresh reasonably quickly, and we vary the refresh rates based on geographic population centers. So if there's a place that has more population density, we tend to try and update that more frequently.
Next question I'll have is from Jim Alward. Jim, go ahead and ask your question.
Hi, Marisa. This is Jim Elward. I have a question about your vision of the LBS space. Is it primarily in the consumer area or in the commercial business sense?
I think that it's both. Mm-hmm. I think that for local, both the consumer piece and the local business piece are very intertwined.
Mm-hmm. But the value
their users are also, in many cases, business owners. So having them claim their place page, having them up, you know, try out our tags or boost advertising product, you know, thinking about how they might want to connect with their consumers in the future is really important, but so is making a delightful user experience.
So a real-time location-based Groupon kind of a concept would be good for both business and for consumers.
I mean, I don't think I said that, but, you know, certainly in the types of services that we provide, we definitely see that, for example, on Google Places search, it's really important to have both the user and the business owner participating.
Great. Thank you.
Great. Our next question is going to be from Doug Daniels. Doug, can you ask your question? He may not be there. So his question is Google considering adding inside maps to their services? For example, as you discussed, an airport map when you are at the airport. So kind of indoor location technology.
I mean, I think that it's less in the example I threw out earlier about being in the airport. I really am referring more to airport guides, because I think actually a lot of times when you're in the airport, you actually have a map, or maybe you're there reasonably frequently and familiar with it already. But a lot of times what people need is a guide. Where do I go and get a newspaper? Where do I go and get a magazine? I need a prescription. Where is that? So, yes, it's a map, but it's more about taking a guide, and that guide may already exist on the web. So in terms of building indoor photography or indoor mapping, that's not something that we offer today. That said, you know, certainly, as I said, our goal is to try and be a mirror of the virtual world, which is one of the reasons why we've become much more active on 3D, both with our vector implementation on GMM5, but also with things like SketchUp and some of the 3D models that you see on Google Maps and Google Earth today.
Okay, that's great. I'm going to let George Percival ask the next question. George, if you're there, can you ask a question?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, just a little louder, George.
Yeah, sure. It's George Percival from the Open Geospatial Consortium. Is Google Earth Engine part of your responsibilities? And if so, you know, what's Google's interest and plans in this domain of Earth observation that it seems that the GE Engine is seeking to address?
Google Earth Engine is part of my responsibility, and something that you know we launched in December in Cancun at COP16. We're very excited about it. We think that this is a way to take this platform that we have, make trillions of scientific measurements spanning 25 years of research available online, and really offer the scale and platform that Google can provide, and offer it for researchers and scientists to really understand what's happening with the world and ultimately make the world a better place. So we're very excited about the opportunity to take our platform of Google Maps that we have available commercially and have it used in this way that really is for the betterment of us all.
Great. Thanks, George. I was getting some background noise. Do you have any other question you want to follow up with?
Sure. Actually, on a different topic, and that would be points of interest. There's been several calls in the industry for a points of interest database that would be more of an open source set of information. Are you familiar with those calls, and do you have any opinions about an open source POI database?
I haven't heard about the calls, I think, specifically. I have heard the general notion of the idea of having a points of interest database. You know, I think there it's tricky. There's definitely some benefits for it being something that is available and standardized, but at the same time, as we try and move location forward, having different amounts of information, different types of information available, sometimes standardization can be a bit confining that way in the space moving as quickly as location is. That might be something that works well, it may not. So I think I would argue that yes, probably an open database makes sense, but it should be extensible in a number of ways to really make sure that we don't miss out on some of the innovation.
Great. Thanks, George. I'm going to allow Shelby Johnson to ask the next question. Shelby, good to hear from you. What do you have to ask today? Okay, well, let me ask Shelby's question directly. It raises a good point here. He says, what plans do you have to improve some of the map accuracy in rural areas?
Well, we are constantly working on getting new imagery. We also have Google Map Maker available in various places around the world, and through that technology, we've actually had a number of maps developed that have never been developed before, where we are having people take that satellite imagery and translate it to a map by drawing in the roads and showing us exactly how the map is laid out using those pictures as a reference point. And so this has been something that's been very successful. I think we now have, at last time I checked, we had more than 50,000 miles of roads that have been drawn in this way. That number was steadily increasing. And so this is one of the things that we're doing to increase the accuracy of maps in rural areas.
And I've got a follow-up question, too, because you do a lot of work with outreach, Haiti, for example, maybe just explain to the attendees kind of what your plans are for continuing that outreach effort. It seems to have been extremely successful, and we've had folks from Google speak at our conferences on that. And I think it's a great opportunity for people to understand what you're doing on the outreach side.
Well, I think in a lot of cases, especially in a time of crisis, what people really need is location-based information. They need to know where are their loved ones, they need to know where is the hospital, they need to know which hospitals are open, which ones are overcrowded at the moment, which ones have staff, where can I get food. And so as a result, our mapping platform has really provided a lot of, I think, service and use and help to people in those situations. We've seen this with Haiti. We've seen this again with Katrina, various earthquake sites. And so we are constantly working to, one, get very accurate pictures of places in crisis and provide the best services we can, both through our Google Maps organization as well as Google.org. To really help people, because in a lot of cases, the location-based information is what people need.
Okay, great. Let's see. We can have Matthew Leroy have the next question. Matthew, are you there?
Yes. Hello. Hi, Marisan.
Hi.
I have a question regarding Googlers. Actually, in my daily work, I use a lot of Google Earth and Google Maps, but we really miss to have the opportunity, to show the maps tiles or layer in Google Earth. So is there some plan to have it available in Google Earth as a normal layer? Actually, it could be helpful to print or customize layers in high resolution, which is not available on Google Maps.
Yeah, so we don't have any plans to announce today on that. That said, I think that this is a natural thing that we'd really like to do. We'd like to basically have available both on the web and in the client the same set of functionality, and this is something that we're constantly working to unify more. So I don't have anything to announce on that today, but stay tuned.
Good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Matthew. Magnus Egnarsson, do you have a question for today?
Yes. I wonder what's your view on how the usage of Google Maps services will change when users start using the mobile devices more than they are using it today.
Did you hear that, Marissa?
Yes, I did. I think that actually the use of maps on the mobile phone is, you know, it's really amazing. I think that, you know, obviously the on phones, one of the killer applications is voice calls, but I think one of the other killer applications really is maps. And because we have a GPS system running through the phones, it means we can know where you are, which is why we can provide great navigation on our Android phones. It's how we can do accurate directions from your current location to your final location. And so this is something that we are really excited about the potential of, but I actually think that maps usage gets easier, and we see disproportionately more of it, because when people are using their phones, they're usually on the go. They're trying to figure out where they're headed and how to get there. And the functionality the phone has available fundamentally changes the equations around maps.
Great. We have a question here from, Steve Andler. Steve, let me just get you on off of mute. Are you there, Steve?
I can't give you his number. He was copied on the email I sent you this morning.
Okay. Well, so anyway, Steve's question was, will Google start monetizing Android and Maps, and what will this do to app developers?
I mean, I think that it's hard to say in that particular area right now. It's so new and it is so fast moving. It's difficult for us to exactly understand how to look at the monetization. That said, we want to be really very friendly to our developers, particularly on the Android platform, particularly on Maps. We see a lot of really interesting innovations coming out of that, and we want to have a really vibrant developer community. We have that today, and so as we look at different changes around how we may monetize it, we, you know, do that with the eye to really just making sure that we foster the most innovation possible.
Great. Let's see, we've got time for maybe one or two more questions on Jean-Yves Carrier, are you there? His question is, I'm a web application developer. My client tells me regularly, can you do like Google? You are often cited as a comparison, which is sometimes frustrating but sometimes inspiring. I'm always impressed by the simplicity of your web interfaces. What's your approach in interface design?
I mean, I think we have a lot of different ways that we look overall at interface design. I think that, one, our interfaces already on Google, and particularly Google Maps and Local, are already quite simple. That's why I think they actually could become more simple. And I think that the benefit of simplicity is it's often very intuitive. And so I think that, you know, in the coming months on Maps and Local, I really hope that we can really make the applications more visually interesting and more visually beautiful while really trying to make them more intuitive for our users. And, you know, that's everything from small cleanups around just the overall colors and layouts to really the interaction model, which I think is something that, you know, we're constantly learning more about. And there's always new challenges being presented, particularly on the mobile phone.
Well, Marissa, we have time for one more question. I'm going to take this one, if you don't mind. Since your background and your research has been in search itself, one of the things that's always had been in the back of my mind is how much will you tie a very complex spatial search query to Google Maps? And the example I always try to give is, you know, can you find me all of the Class A office space within 2 miles of 4th and Main? So I'm just curious as to your perspective on making Google Maps, Google Earth, a really, truly robust spatial search engine.
I'm very interested in that, but that's what I do think that needs and requires a different type of application than the core web search we have. Right? So
right.
A lot of what we see in the location space, you know, find me a great place for lunch that I will like within 1 mile of where I am now, finding all the Class A office space between 4th and Main. Those types of things are very complex queries to express, and it's not that we couldn't parse and understand them in the core web search. In many cases, we actually could, but basically, we want the users to have the confidence of, or an even awareness, oh, I can express a search like that. So this is really an interface challenge. How do you present an interface that makes it clear the breadth of types of things you can search for? And then how do you really make sure that you can parse and understand those correctly to apply them and provide great results? And these are two really big areas of exploration and research as we move forward.
Well, Marissa, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us. I know you've got a tight schedule and we're at the bottom of the hour. So, again, on behalf of all of us here at Directions, I really very much appreciate your time.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You bet. Take care. Thanks again. And thanks to all of you who have joined us today. I hope to see you back on another Directions Media webinar or an on-point conversation. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend. Bye-bye now.